Welcome to Fried. I'm your host, Kate Donovan. I work with leaders so they can see the patterns that are quietly hurting performance and burning out their best people. In my world, burnout is blameless, burnout is information, and burnout is a signal that we can use to improve workplaces. Seasons 1 through 10 focus on individual burnout. Seasons 11 and beyond focus on leadership, culture, and the workplace. This podcast will help you understand what burnout is pointing to and how to start fixing what's actually causing it. If this is a conversation you feel your organization should be having, that's the work I bring into teams through keynotes, workshops, and advisory. You can find all my info at katedonovan.com. That's CAITDONOVAN.com.
Ain't gonna burn ourselves out no more. Ain't gonna burn ourselves out no more. Got each other on our side, plus all the folks at Fried, the Burnout Podcast.
Hey, Fried fam. If you're new here, welcome. I'm so glad that you found especially this episode, because today I want to talk about a skill that I believe will define leadership effectiveness for the future of work for as long as we can consider it at the moment. And I don't really know anyone else talking about it. And even in the neuroscience research, this is still fairly new. So as I learn more about it and as the research grows, I'll be able to give you even more and better info about it. So what is the skill that I'm talking about? The skill is called interoception. Intero means internal, ception means sensing or perception. At its most basic level, interoception is your ability to pick up signals from your own body. They test this in the research by assessing how accurately you can judge how frequently your heart is beating. But this is also about, you know, knowing when you need to go to the bathroom and understanding when you're thirsty, when you're hungry, when your brain got tired from staring at a screen for too long, when you're antsy because you need to move, like you'd be better off going for a walk than you would continuing whatever it is that you're doing at the moment. In its most sophisticated form, interoception is extremely interesting, especially for leaders, but not only, because interoception is the raw input data that you get for decision making. It helps you assess in the moment. So I want you to think about it. If it's like every decision that you make and everything that you feel in your body runs through this process before it becomes even a conscious thought. So the gut feeling you had about a hire, so this is a little bit of intuitiveness. The unease that you feel when you walk into a meeting that's not sitting right with you. The way that you're able to manage or not manage emotions as they pop up before you have a conversation with someone. The energy that comes up when the work really truly aligns with and matches who you are and how you like to be in the world. It's data. All of this information and the way your body is responding is data. And interoception is your ability and your capacity to receive and respond to that data. When this skill is developed and used actively, you feel alignment. I call alignment match. And you'll feel mismatch even earlier than you would have. So when you're using your interoceptive skills on a regular basis, you're comfortable with them, when you understand what is happening in your body and what that means for you, you'll notice signals of match and mismatch earlier within yourself and within your team. And that will help you in the creation of a culture and a workspace that is healthy and engaged and high performing. When you catch them sooner, when you catch mismatches sooner, you can act sooner. When something is off and you know about it and you can change it, you stop small problems from becoming large ones and you change disengagement, you stop disengagement from becoming complete burnout. So one of the things that I talk about a lot is that I don't necessarily fully believe in burnout prevention. And the reason I don't believe in burnout prevention is because I believe that most of us that end up burnt out have a low level of this skill of interoception. We have it for a lot of different reasons. And because we have it, we don't notice when stress piles up. So when our jaw starts to clench or our shoulders start to hike up to our ears, or we start breathing a little more shallow or having more frequent headaches, we just take these in as normal parts of our day. And we're not actually like listening deep enough or hearing. I don't think we're ignoring them. I think we're really not noticing them because of a lack of interoceptive skills. So the stress is piling up, our body is responding, but our brain isn't fully acknowledging what's truly happening. And so in order for us to get to a place where we'll actually respond to burnout or respond to another problem in our lives, we wait for the blow up moment. We wait for the straw that breaks the camel's back. We wait for the collapse, the nervous breakdown, the whatever it happens to be, like the big event that allows us to finally pay attention to the things that we were sort of kind of able to pass by before. So why a lot of my research over the past few years has been looking into why we might have a lower interoceptive ability. Why one person amongst others would have a low interoceptive ability. Why are some people able to naturally prevent burnout in their lives, naturally make changes, and others are not? So one day I was in an Uber. I was on the road for a keynote. I can't even remember. Oh, I was in Des Moines, Iowa. I was in Des Moines. And I was on the road for this keynote, and this guy picked me up and from my hotel to take me, I think, back to the airport. And he was a post-retired, maybe about 68, 69 years old, and just got to chatting with him. And he said he had owned a couple of different companies, some of them really big in the area, had quite a successful life. And now he was driving Uber to stay in touch with people and keep himself active. And while he was not helping babysit his grandchildren and things like that, he was just keeping himself busy. And as he talked about his life, I noticed that he said, you know, and then I noticed things weren't going so well anymore, and I was starting to feel a little more uncomfortable. So we sold that business, we pivoted, we did something else. And I noticed that along his pathway, basically what he was describing was that he was falling into like a stress cycle that was consistent. He noticed it and then turned away from it. So this man, you know, 68 years, couple of different businesses, now driving an Uber just for a good time, had avoided burnout his whole entire life by being in tune with this signal, noticing things were going sideways and being like, no, we're going to change that, right? And that really hit me that day. And I thought, okay, well, why did he have it and why didn't I have it? And so one of the pieces of research I dove into a lot when I went back to school a few years ago was this idea of adverse childhood experiences, how that affects brain development and what that means for our patterns of behavior and coping mechanisms as adults. So adverse childhood experiences are basically childhood traumas, different forms. There are quizzes you can take online to see what your numbers are. They have to do with things like neglect and abuse and having a parent who is incarcerated or having a parent with a mental illness or being parentified as a child, being responsible too early, growing up too early. There's all sorts of things that count as ACEs. Fascinating information. When you have a high ACEs score, the part of your brain that's responsible for interoception doesn't grow as much. So it's not as matured as other parts of your brain. This is wild. So you are, as a child, like your nervous system was tuned into your outside environment. If things were a little chaotic, if you weren't sure what was going to keep you safe, if you weren't sure who you needed to take care of, you're constantly paying attention to everyone outside of you rather than paying attention to your own body. And other people are not responding to your emotional needs or your physical needs. So you are also learning that those needs are unimportant, right? The outside world demanded more attention from you. So your internal world got quieter as a result. That is not a character flaw. It's not anything you did wrong. It is brilliant adaptation and survival. The only thing it means is that by the time a lot of you got to work, a lot of us got to leadership positions, got into the workplace, we had spent our entire lives practicing ignoring our own bodies and our own signals. And then there's the compounding problem. When you don't use those pathways, when you don't use that skill, the neural infrastructure also doesn't grow as you age. So you can regrow this part of your brain. You have to tune in and you have to listen to yourself and you have to respond. And it will regrow and you will gain this skill. But when you don't know that you don't need it because you've never had it and haven't used it, you don't use it. And when you don't use it, you lose it. So you have this issue in childhood and then you carry that through you with your life. And because you carry it through you, you don't ever have the chance to grow this part of your brain to enhance your ability to use this skill. And so the pattern that I hear from every leader that I've worked with that's gone through burnout follows the same arc. Like, I didn't know anything was wrong until something massive happened, a health crisis, a relationship failure, a team imploded, everybody quit because of burnout. Like, there was a low acknowledgement of what was going on until boom, right? Now, I want to connect this directly to your work because interoception isn't about just your own well-being. It's about your capacity to lead. So your ability to tune into yourself is directly related to your ability to tune into other people. Now, before I said if you were a child and you were overly tuned into other people, then, you know, this interoceptive skill would become lower. Here's the trick. Most people that have low interoception think that they understand and feel other people really well, but they are often misinterpreting other people's signals as dangerous and unsafe when that's not necessarily true. Because you were taught to be hypervigilant, because you are looking for ways that you might be unsafe so that you can react to them, you're often over-interpreting other people's behaviors and actions as like a straight rejection or straight damage or lack of safety to your own world. So, and you think that you're super empathetic, that you understand people really well, that you're more aware of other people than most people are, but you are hyper tuned into some signals that might not even be there and some signals that you are going to like make bigger than they really are, because if you didn't do that when you were younger, you would have been unsafe. So this is really wild. So the lower your interoception, the lower your ability to empathize and really feel what other people are feeling. So there's research that shows that when you are like really actually empathically attuned to someone else, that ability increases if you focus on yourself first. So if you engage in your own interoceptive skills and then start a conversation with someone, your ability to empathize and actually your brain patterns and how they fire compared to the other person's is more aligned than if you don't spend that time practicing interoception before you get into the conversation or into the situation. So that means that if you are a leader who's disconnected from their interoceptive skills, from their own bodily signals, you're also less likely to notice when someone else on your team is struggling, less likely to pick up shifts in group energy. And when group energy is changing, when somebody starts complaining, somebody starts having a little more resentment, things start to break down. And you're less equipped to distinguish what a room is actually communicating versus what your own projection is telling you about the situation. So this is a systemic problem that starts with an individual skill. So that was all the bad news. Here's the good news. You can build this skill and it's not really that hard. Here's what you need to do. The unofficial hashtag of this podcast for many, many years has been hashtag pee when you need to pee. This is literally how you start. Like actually, literally, you start with your bladder. You learn the signals of your bladder, not just like the urgent end of the scale signal that you currently act on. Like you knew you needed to pee 15 minutes ago, but you decided to write 4 more emails. Those 4 more emails turned into your next Zoom call. And now you're sitting sideways in your chair, just waiting for a bathroom break. So you're not focused on the conversation. You don't know what's going on, but you really got to go. If you focus for the next 3 to 4 weeks just on going to the bathroom when you need to go to the bathroom, your ability to feel every other sensation that your body has will improve. So when you improve one of them, you improve all of them. When you start to respond to it and notice it, you'll gather data. You'll confirm that your body was correct. You'll rebuild trust with yourself. And your relationship to your own body and its information and your intuition and your knowledge and your wisdom, all of that shifts. There's less self-doubt. There's more self-belief and self-trust. That trust that's built on small, repeated confirmations transfers to bigger signals, which in a boss situation actually feels right, not just looks right on paper. The more you practice these skills and the more you go from one to the next and build on them, the better your brain will be able to work with you to make clear decisions and make good hires and all of those things. So once you know how to pee when you need to pee, you work on your hunger signals. Like a lot of people think hunger signals are just like when your belly gurgles, but your first signal of hunger might be fatigue from working on the computer. Like you're in some sort of creative process. You've been writing something for a couple of hours and you start to sort of drop off. You might not just be tired of creativity. You might actually just need some carbohydrates to continue on. And when you start tuning into those hunger signals and getting to know them a little bit better and responding to them appropriately, then your interoceptive skills get built even more. So you're looking at thirst, you're looking at hunger, you're looking at peeing when you need to be, you're looking at moving when you're antsy, resting when you're tired, closing your eyes for 30 seconds when they're burning from looking at a screen just to give them a little bit of a break. Signal, response, more trust, better intuition, better relationships, better culture. What I want you to take from this is that we have invested enormous resources over the years teaching leaders how to read financials and get, you know, clear on P&Ls and KPIs and SOPs and all the things. But we have almost entirely neglected the skill of being able to read yourself. Being able to understand your own body and its signals and understanding what things in your life and your work are a match for you, are aligned for you, are helping you to promote your health and well-being and engagement and performance, and what things are a mismatch for you that are driving disengagement and attrition and burnout and everything else. This is how you, interoception is how you stay in roles that are right for you and leave ones that aren't. It's how you build teams that are genuinely energizing rather than quietly depleting. And it's how you catch early signals of your own capacity limits before you hit a wall. It helps you get to the point where you can avoid burnout and prevent burnout because you're aware enough of what your body is doing that you respond appropriately early enough so that damage isn't done. It starts with something as simple as paying attention to your body's most basic needs. We call this foundational self-care in my business. And it doesn't take long to build. I once gave a client this exercise of peeing when she needed to pee, and she was real annoyed with me because she was paying me a lot of money, and I told her to pee when she needed to pee. And so she was like, I'm paying you how much money for what information? And we didn't talk for a few weeks. I was on a vacation. She was on a vacation. And when we finally got back together, she said, holy shit, this is changing my life. And I said, okay, like, tell me more. She said, not only did I notice how often I'm overriding my signal to go to the bathroom, but I also noticed how infrequently I'm able to interrupt other people or ask for space before and after a meeting in order to use the bathroom. Like, I think that my need to use the bathroom is like a massive problem for everyone in my life. I go grocery shopping without going to the bathroom because my husband is waiting for me. I get on a Zoom call without running to the bathroom because I'm not willing to be 60 seconds late. Like, I am overriding this signal so often with so many people. And it's really actually pretty easy to say, hey, listen, I'm going to be 2 minutes late. I'm just going to have a bio break before I get on the Zoom. Like, simple, not hard, not complicated. So I want you to take this seriously. The other thing that builds when you build your own interoception and you build your ability to connect and read other people, the other thing that happens as a byproduct is you're able to manage your emotions better. So if you've found yourself in this place where your emotions are coming up to here, you're like holding on, and then someone says something and you snap, that's a signal that you have a low interoceptive ability at the moment. And you don't have to fix it by managing your emotions. You have to fix it by managing your bladder. It sounds silly, folks, but it works. I hope that that helps you. Whether you're a leader or not, this is a really important skill. It's an important skill for now, but it's an important skill forever. The more we dive into AI, the more human we have to get. And there is nothing more human than listening to your body's most basic signals. If this episode was helpful for you, if you just thought it was funny, send it to a friend, send it to a coworker, leave me a review, do any of the things that help this podcast stay and grow. The more reviews we get, the more shares we get, the higher we move up on Apple ranks, and we are trying to hit the top 50 business and leadership podcasts. So I'm counting on you to help me get there. Thank you. Okay, till next time. Welcome to Fried. I'm your host, Kate Donovan. I work with leaders so they can see the patterns that are quietly hurting performance and burning out their best people. In my world, burnout is blameless, burnout is information, and burnout is a signal that we can use to improve workplaces. Seasons 1 through 10 focus on individual burnout. Seasons 11 and beyond focus on leadership, culture, and the workplace. This podcast will help you understand what burnout is pointing to and how to start fixing what's actually causing it. If this is a conversation you feel your organization should be having, that's the work I bring into teams through keynotes, workshops, and advisory. You can find all my info at katedonovan.com. That's CAITDONOVAN.com.
Ain't gonna burn ourselves out no more. Ain't gonna burn ourselves out no more. Got each other on our side, plus all the folks at Fried, the Burnout Podcast.